Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
The blood still works. Praise his holy name. Welcome. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and God. Gracious God, my Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this, another preaching opportunity, and for hearers, a hearing opportunity. Lord, speak through your word and challenge our lives. Make us all that you desire us to be. As you reveal and unfold your principles, give us power to practice them, that we might profit from them and give you the praise. We thank you once again for being God all by yourself and doing as only you can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, let's give God some praise in the house, if you don't mind. God is good. And I tell you all the time, he sure enough is good. Amen. I love you.
I love you. Yes, I love you.
I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because, come on, sing it with me if you know it, in such a special, oh, I lift you up, magnify. Your name, holy name, that's can we say it one more time like we mean it today? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So glad you did, Lord. Such a special way. I lift you up, magnify. Oh, your name, your name, your holy name. Nothing but praise, nothing but praise. My heart, oh, it's filled with your praise, with your praise, your praise. My heart, turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 12. John, chapter 14, verse 12. Recorded are these words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, What you think about that? What you think about that? Jesus is speaking and he's declaring a truth that every believer should understand for his or herself in the realm of truth and in the realm of possibility that the Lord Jesus has made available to every believer. Now, there are so many things that he's saying, and he's again in his discourse making clear to the hearers as he's preparing to make his exit from planet Earth, how they are and how they will be equipped to do some of the wonderful things that they have witnessed him do. And he doesn't just have them following him to be following him. He's preparing them. He's teaching them. He's informing them. He is giving them the ability to be able to duplicate what he is doing, what he has done, and what he will do. And what is important for us to understand is we will never, ever come to the fullness of the life God expects us to enjoy and to live in the kingdom without understanding that we have a purpose on this side of glory to change the face of this world by the presence of Jesus Christ in the lives of believers. When believers show up in any darkness, there ought to be some light. When a situation isn't right, believers should be able to take authority over that situation, and that somebody know, somebody here is here with some power because things happen when they show up. It ought to be such a difference, so much so that we let our light so shine in this dark world that men will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. There ought to be something about believers that help them to grasp the fact that Jesus wants me to be an atmosphere changer. He wants the atmosphere to be subject to me and not me subject to the atmosphere. Have you ever gone into a place and you didn't like the way it felt? It just didn't feel right? Well, when you are walking in authority and in power, and the presence of the Lord's power and spirit is in you and on you, and you walk in the place, that's how the devil, the demons, the demonic spirits ought to feel when you show up. Something just ain't right. Somebody with some power has walked in the place. You know, it's just like when you were back in the day, you know, and you'd go into a club or to a party or to a place, you were known as the life of the party. Man, when they show you like, oh, it's about to get live now. So-and-so just walked in. And that's the way we ought to be in this world. Jesus is informing the disciples and informing the believers on some practical truths that they need to understand so that they will be able to wrap their minds around and grasp the concept that Jesus is showing you this so you can duplicate this. He's letting you in on, if you will, the secret to his power. And so when we begin to look at this word, you'll see again, he says, verily, verily. That's truly, truly. Now look, what is he saying? Truthfully. He's telling them something that's important to them to know. He says, I say unto you, he that believeth, he that has confidence in me, he that has faith in me, he that has trust in me, believeth in me, or on me, as the text says, the works. Because one of the things that I want you to see, first of all, is he's really making this clear for the believer. So the first thing you need to focus on when he's speaking is he's speaking generally to all persons. He's not just talking to the disciples. This is a principle applicable to to all believers, men, women, girls, boys, it doesn't matter, persons. So he's trying to get every person who is a believer to understand this principle, that the works he does, they shall do also. So he starts off talking to persons, but he's drawing their attention to performance. Amen. Because sometimes we get hooked up on the personality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we don't pay attention to the performance. Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to just get hooked. Believe on me. On me in this context means I want you to pay attention to the whole me and what I'm representing here. I don't want you to get caught up on sensationalism, because when you get caught up on sensationalism, you're looking at the personality. I want you to get caught up on the principle so you can practice them and profit from them. So it's important for you to understand that Jesus is talking to persons, that includes you, that includes me, and he's making clear his performance record is of such a nature that the reason he has done these things before them is so that they will get a bird's eye view, if you will, a up close and personal view of Jesus performing the very miracles, the acts, the wonders, the signs, all of these things that he did, so that they can understand what he is doing, they can do also. See, you'll start paying a little more attention if you find out you can do what he did. Now, it's wonderful to talk about all of the things that he did, but of course, they came out of faith. Faith, in this context, comes from the Greek word ergon, and literally it is translated as works 155 times and as deeds 22 times. And so what it's literally saying is, if you got the faith of Christ in you, you can duplicate the works that he has done by believing on him. Believing on him means believing in what he believes in and doing what he has done, and simply duplicate the process. Now, what's important about this is what qualifies the persons to be able to do this kind of performance is if they believe on him. He that believeth on Jesus, meaning to take into full scope the very essence of what Jesus believed, what Jesus says, what Jesus does, and realize that he has been an example for us to duplicate the very same things. That was the reason why for 3.5 years he took the minds of the disciples and transferred his trend of thought into their thought processes so that they would understand what Jesus did. He walked with them, talked with them, lived with them, ate with them, fellowship with them, shared with them, prayed for them, prayed with them, did all of those things so that when he would leave, they would be able to continue. Yeah. Now, listen to this. Every leader that's worth his ability to lead wants to transfer leadership qualities into his followers. Because if it's worth anything, it's worth continuing on. If it's worth anything, it's worth having others to be able to duplicate that very same thing in the event you are not there to do it. Why do you think Apple, the Apple company, is still going on even though Steve Jobs is gone? He's transferred his trend of thought. He's transferred some of his ideas and so forth. Some that have not even yet been fully developed. He has made these things clear, and he's gotten some of the brightest minds that he worked with before he left, transferred his trend of thought into their thinking processes so that Apple will be a long time being around even after he's gone. Now, listen to this. You know you got a small business when you die, the business close up. I used to wonder when the old preacher used to say, God's business is big business.
They weren't that intellectual, and they couldn't use a whole lot of polysyllabics, but they knew his business was big business. And it is big business. Look at Jesus. Jesus has been gone over 2,000 years, and the church is still growing. And what is important is understanding the transferal of the thought processes that help you progress and move from one level to the next level. And this is what a good leader wants to transfer into their thinking. And that's a principle that works in spiritual things and in natural things. And so when you begin to look at this word and see this word, he says, again, the works that I do, that I perform, shall he do also. Shall that person do also. And look at what he goes on to say. And greater works than these shall he do. Now, there's been some question about this statement made by Jesus. Jesus said this, and you can somewhat grasp this in your mind till you begin to understand, you know, the scripture, that Jesus said, listen, if you really believe on me, what I'm doing, you're going to be able to do. And, you know, I mean, that's far-fetched in itself for the natural mind to comprehend. Because when we look at all that Jesus did, I mean, it seems yet impossible for the natural man. And for the natural man, it is, but not for the spiritual man. And so when you begin to understand this and understand all of the various things that Jesus Christ has done, he healed the sick, raised the dead, he fed the folk miraculously, on and on and on. He says, we can do those things? Now, if that don't blow your mind, what you think about this? Greater works than these. What these? These I just got through telling you about. Greater works than these shall ye do. Now, okay, wait, Jesus. I'm having problems with the first works. Now, y'all want to sit there and act like I'm making this kind of stuff? I mean, he healed the sick. When was the last time you healed somebody? He delivered folk from demonic possession. When the last time you did that? Now, y'all sitting up there smiling at me like I'm making it up. I'm trying to ask yourself, when's the last time you raised somebody from the dead? So I'm talking about these works that he's talking about. When's the last time you fed somebody? I know y'all know about long gravies and all that kind of stuff, but he took just a few fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000, not including men and women. And one of the writers said that it would be inclusive of 15,000 people that Jesus fed with those scraps and then picked up 12 basketfuls. So when was the last time you made a gravy go that long? See, the young folk don't know what I'm talking about, and the old folk act like they didn't forget. That's when you take a little piece of meat that ain't got much meat, and it's more for seasoning than it is anything, and you cook it in there, and you get the flavor and the essence of meat, and they cook it so long till they get tend to break up, and in your gravy, you get a little hint of meat with a pot of gravy. And right, but, oh, that was some good eating back then, huh? Jesus made those few items go far longer than we could ever do. When was the last time we did any of those things? And yet, it is available for us to do. But here's the qualifier. Do we really believe on it? Now, he's asking the men who walked with him this question of belief. Whosoever believeth on me. If you believe on me, do you believe on me? Because here's what it is. Now, if they who were there may have issues with this, then it's commonplace that we would have issues with this. Unless we believe God's word. Listen, so we got the persons, Because he makes clear, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever that person is, whoever believes on me, then he talking about, shall do the works that I do. That's performance. But I want you to see the promise, because the promise is where he makes clear he can back up his words. Again, he says, and greater works than these shall he do. That's a promise from Jesus. If he believes on me, he's going to be able to do greater works than these. Wow. Well, I've heard this interpreted as greater works being, well, we have the advent of radio and television and books, and we can get the word out through radio and reach so many more people than Jesus reached by radio. We can reach millions of people in a half hour. Jesus couldn't do that. That's greater works. Television, we go on, same thing. We can reach millions of people. Books, we write them, get books in the millions of people's hands, and that's greater works. All of those are natural works, not spiritual works. They may be spiritual in nature, but an unsaved man can do the same thing. He can get on radio, he can get on TV and reach just as many people as you're reaching, and possibly more. So what does Jesus mean by this? Greater works than these shall ye do. Well, now, no man has had the kind of liberty and freedom and ability to flow in the Spirit of God like Jesus. He received the Spirit without measure. So if he received the Spirit without measure, then it means that he was able to do all of those things by the power of the Spirit. Well, now, Jesus makes clear that he has to go away so the Spirit that he utilizes his power from can come and we be endued and endowed with that same power. Now keep in mind, the reason Jesus had to use the Holy Ghost was because he never planned to stay down here always. So though he was the Son, he left deity's power in heaven, took on the form of human flesh, became endued or empowered by the Holy Ghost, so that when he gave up the ghost, that we too can receive the ghost and do in the earth realm everything he did in the ghost. Are y'all hearing me here? If he would have used deity's power, it would have been an unfair usage of power that we would have not have been privy to. We would not have had the privilege of using the Son's power. But because the Son gave up that power in heaven and took on the form of human flesh and became empowered by the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Ghost, he used the Holy Ghost's power, so everyone who believes on the Son become filled with the Holy Ghost can now operate just as Jesus. If we are heirs and joint heirs with him, that means we are equal to him. See, you got to see it from the biblical standpoint. We're heirs and joint heirs with him. All right? Well, then that means that we're joint heirs. Then that means we have the same privilege. Jointly. Yeah. Jointly. So now that means that this is now available to us. When he talked about, listen to this, and I'm going to help you in this sense. When he talked about greater works, he was not talking about quality, he was talking about quantity. Hear me again. When he talked about greater works, he was talking about greater quantity of works, not greater quality Oh, there were no works greater than his quality of work. So here's the thought. It was just him filled with unlimited power to walk amongst those who were in his time and do everything he did. Now, imagine those who are believers having that power available to him. So not only is it one who has this power, but now you've got 1,000 with this power, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 plus with the same power that Jesus had to do. Think of the quantity of works that he did that he says you can do. It's about all of us having the ability to do what Jesus has already done. Now, here is another thing that's important, because he makes this promise, and greater works shall ye, not the disciples, not the apostles, not the preachers, not the missionaries, but ye, the believer. And greater works shall ye do. Because if every one of us did what we could do, do you realize how many of his works would be multiplied? He's the originator. We're simply the duplicators. He's already done what he's asking us to do. And you go back through his historicity and discover what he's done. And Jesus says, you can do the same thing. Now, here's the last thing that I want you to know about this promise. He promises that you will be able to do greater works because, here it is, I go back to my Father. Okay, so what are you saying, Jesus? Well, first of all, if I go back to my Father, and my works don't continue, then I've wasted my time. So the reason I've trained you and taught you is so you will continue to do what I've shown and demonstrated to you in your presence. Now, I go back to my Father. I will cease to do those things I did, but it doesn't mean you shall cease. Because the Spirit that was with me, he will be with you also. And everything he gave me the power to do in the earth realm, he will give you the power to do in the earth realm. Listen to this. I go to my Father. That's the reason right there, because I go to my Father, which means I cease continuing in the operation I did on earth. In other words, that ends my earth phase. That ends my earth phase. Part of my teaching and my ministering, especially to the disciples and to those who would be believers, is so that they could continue, because I knew my time was marked. I knew my end was coming. I didn't come here to stay. I came here to seek and to save that which were lost, and I wanted to train and prepare them so that they could continue taking the gospel, saving folk, and doing everything both in the natural and in the spiritual realm that I did. So here again is what Jesus is saying. Because I go back to my Father, you're going to do greater things, listen to this, because you will have greater opportunities. See, your greater works come in because of the opportunities that this age and this world will present to you that were not present when Jesus was here. The power you're going to use is still the same Holy Ghost. Ain't going to be no different Holy Ghost, no different Spirit of God. It's the same one. So the quality is going to remain the same, but there will be opportunities now that you have that Jesus didn't have when he walked on earth. There have been debates.